Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see all your lovely faces here this morning. We get another week of good weather from what they're saying, and then who knows what. But anyway, my suggestion to you would be get ready for winter. Now, we're in northern Michigan, and it's coming. So turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 4. And we're going to be reading verses 17 through 19. I shared on this a Sunday before last. Nathan was so gracious to take last Sunday, and you loved it, and I'm grateful that you did, because I would love you to, I would always like you to cherish a message than to sometimes just hang on what I say. Amen. Because there's things that happen with a lot of what I share. And because, you know, I want to preach the truth. And my prayer is that you'll like it and enjoy it and put it to work in your life. But sometimes people don't take it that way. And they tend to think differently about it, which I'll cover some scripture on that in just a minute. But people that know me know that I'm quite different. And that's probably not all good, they might say. But I am different. I'm just thankful. You know, God uses us all in different ways. And that's so that we can grow. So anyway, that's where we're at. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 is where we'll start. And it says, therefore, the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Big question there. What will become of them? Verse 18, now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Father, we thank you for your written word, promises and explanations and desires that you have for us, that you might bless us and keep us. Lord, that we don't fall like many who refuse to receive you, to walk with you and to love you, and to allow you to love them and bless them. So we thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask that you would bless it now to our minds and bless our souls because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, our judging ourselves, I believe, is something that is it's so important. You know, sometimes I just got to stand back and look at myself. Do you ever notice how sometimes you can kind of get in a wrong area and then things start to happen and you stop and say, whoa, wait a minute. How did I get here? What turn did I make? And so then we have to re-examine ourselves of where we're at and why we're there. And then we need to redirect. Come back in the right place, the right position. I love blessings. I don't like condemnation. You know, I love to be blessed, and I know you do as well. And where I am at and how I share and why I do and is this. The Word says this in 2 Timothy chapter 4. It says, preach the Word. It says, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. It says, for the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. And folks, that's a lot of issues that we have today. Everybody likes to hear the fluffy, powerful, you know, parts of that make us feel good in the gospel. The pat on the back, and that's needed, and it's important. You know, I preached this same thing up at the prison, and through it, I told them, I said, I'm not going to be one that's going to preach you guys all this fluff and all of these kind things and then just try to build you up and make you feel good about yourself. I said, that doesn't heal you. It doesn't change you. And I said, it's kind of wasting your time, and I waste my time and, of course, God's time in doing that. And afterwards, when I was walking in the back, all the guys were coming up and thanking me. But one who is called, his nickname, everybody has a nickname, it seems, up there. His name is Preacher. They nicknamed him Preacher. He was this inspiring young man that this large church took under their wing because he was going to be a great speaker. And they were preparing him for TV ministry and all of that. A young man, probably at the time, and he was like 18 or 19 years old. And this is him telling me all of this. But he says, Jim, pride came in. And he says, I got hit. The enemy attacked me. And he said, I fell for it. And I don't know what crime he committed to be there. I don't know how long he's supposed to be there. I didn't ever ask. But see, he was being groomed and being trained. But he wasn't being taught a lot of good things. There wasn't somebody on him to say, hey, wait a minute. You better see this differently and do differently. And maybe they did, but he didn't heed the warning. And so now he's in prison. So now he sees his fault and sees his mistake. And now he works with these guys. He does teachings through the week. But anyway, he said this to me because I said, I don't preach fluff. And I'm not going to be there just to pat you on the back. He came up and he says, Jim, thank you. He said, I've been all by myself. Nobody else. Everybody else is teaching the fluff. They're not teaching the hard stuff, the things that are going to destroy them. And he said, I felt so alone. I was the only one. But he says, I feel so good now because now there's two of us that are preaching the word to help these people. Folks, this is so important. I don't want anyone to get in hell and say, well, why didn't you teach me? Why didn't you tell me or warn me of this? So I preach the way I do so that, first of all, it's what God wants me to preach. It's what he's given me to share. But it's for all of our goods. Folks, I love it because when I preach, I learn a lot. You know what I mean? I do. Because a lot of it I don't have written down and don't really know it until I start sharing and the Holy Spirit starts giving me things. I can't wait to get out and preach because I learn a lot. And so my prayer is that you learn a lot as well. Folks, you want your life changed. You want to be blessed. You want to serve God and love God and have Him love you. You want your families blessed. There's a lot of problems going on in families today. You got a son now that wants to be a girl. Or you got a daughter that wants to be a boy. Folks, there's confusion out in the world. And so we got to start standing for truth, regardless of the cost. Do you ever notice how sometimes you lose friends because you take a stand? You stand for the gospel and they don't like that? You know, I love the time when Jesus was walking on the water, going to his disciples. Remember that? And there was a storm? And they seen him, they were afraid of him. And he says, "Be of comfort, it's me." And they're all, "Oh, it's Jesus." But of course, the waves are still rocking the boat and, you know, splashing them and all of that. But you know, only one person was willing to get out of the boat and walk to Jesus. He said, "Lord, if it's you, then bid me to come to you. Walking on the water." See, we're afraid to get out of the boat and take our stand, to judge ourselves. Where are we in God? Do we really trust Him? Will He really work through us? Jesus said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water. Now, folks, that left 11 more in the boat. Why didn't they get out too when they seen Peter walking on the water? It's kind of like in church today. I always look at church and I'm like, what is going on? People are so good, but there's no power in their lives. When they leave church, they don't even mention or even most of their time think about God until the next Sunday. Oh, we got church again. Folks, they're like the 11 disciples that were boat huggers. And I think a lot of us are just boat huggers. Let's stay where it's safe. Yeah, we get storms once in a while, but this is a good sturdy boat. So we'll just hang on. Rather than saying, "Lord, if it's you." Yes, there's people against us. There's people that won't agree, but yet, "Lord, if you want me to share, I'm getting out of the boat and sharing. I'll tread water for you, Lord." But 11 of them didn't. Only Peter got out and walked the water. Of course, he did sink later, but even in that, Jesus saved him. Jesus just said, "Oh, ye of little faith. You need to work on this, Peter." See, he took his eyes off of Jesus, and that's what happens with a lot of people. Folks, when you do what God's calling you to do, keep your eyes on Him. Don't look at the circumstances, what's happening, who might be coming against you. Who cares? I look at it and I say, "God, you got a problem." And let me tell you, God knows how to handle problems. Amen. But see, we've got to learn to judge ourselves and look at it. Where are we? Are we suffering and having all these problems for nothing? Folks, I'm going to tell you, you will go through tribulation. We will suffer persecution. Charlie Kirk died as a persecution. So we can as well. But it's okay. It's for a purpose. There's a reason behind it. So we got to learn to put God first. If not, we'll suffer for nothing. And there's a lot of that happening now. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You all know this. It's talking about examining ourselves. Just like Peter's saying, we've got to judge ourselves. So he's saying here, Paul is saying, examine yourselves, judge yourselves, see what's happening, where are you at? Verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 11, it says, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body, blood of the Lord Jesus. Seeming like a little thing. Well, I'm in church and I'm partaking. Why is it a big deal that I don't see the real importance of this and show my honor for all that Jesus did? See, you know, we don't cherish all that Jesus did on the cross in dying for us and all that he had suffered. It says in verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. Consequences. See, a lot of times we just focus on God's love for us, and he does love us. But folks, I'm going to tell you, there's consequences of our actions. And we don't realize it, and still to this day, it's written in black and white, and we still don't see it. And that's shocking. It's written right there, and we don't see it. Let me read it for you. Verse 29. Just for not examining yourself and understanding all that God did for us through Jesus, it says, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak. Listen to me. Folks, this is written out black and white. In fact, well, it's there. But we skim over it, or we don't pay much attention to it. It says, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Now, that weakness may not be just a body weakness, you know, where I can't walk that far, I can't do this or that because of whatever. I think it can be a spiritual weakness at all. That's why we don't share. Why we don't care for people. We need to consider those that are lost. Folks are going to hell. Not just for a couple days, but for an eternity. And a lot of times we're weak and we don't want to even look at other people's issues. We're too concerned about ours. And it says, and many sleep. Folks, that's many die. They die early. How about Ananias and Sapphira? In Acts 5, it talks about them. Folks, all they did is they lied to the Holy Spirit and God struck them dead. Both of them. Just for lying. You see, God didn't want their sin starting in the church with lies and deception. He wasn't going to tolerate a Jezebel spirit of trying to control things or make things go their way. or any other spirit at that time, because God was so prevalent. People understood where they were at. They were so committed, even unto death. So I'm not trying to make people afraid. You know, if that's what it takes, then that's up to God. I know with me, fear brought me to the Lord. Because I had a spirit, I thought I was okay. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't rob any banks. I didn't do a lot of bad things. I did lie a little, a lot. I did other things, and I was selfish, self-centered. I was okay, but I figured, hey, God's not going to put me in hell for that, because God is love. And then God had this guy ask me where I was going to go, heaven or hell, when I died. Otherwise, I wouldn't even have thought of it. And I thought I was going to heaven and said so. Lord spoke to me just a moment later, and he said this. It's not the first time I heard from God. But he said, Jim, if you died tonight, you'd go straight to hell. Folks, I want to tell you, it scared me. It scared me to start searching for God. And I'm like, God, where do I look? I want to be saved. How do I be saved? I don't understand any of this. I thought I was all right. So I hunted and I searched. I asked and talked to people. Folks, weeks went by as I searched. I said, oh, God, please don't let me die yet. Please don't kill me yet. I couldn't even sleep well. Folks, I was scared. And I didn't know what to do. Until the Lord let me meet somebody who asked me to go to church with them. And I went, and then a week or so later, I'm not sure of how long it was, but I was saved then. But folks, where are we sometimes? The Word tells us, man, if you're doing things wrong, maybe you don't know, but at least search it out. See, we need to know what God has for our lives. He has good things planned for all of us. But folks, we've got to learn to do it His way. We've got to learn to understand what God declares. You know why God hates sin and why we should hate sin? It may be fun at first. You know, it's kind of like me. I used to smoke. I enjoyed smoking. I didn't like to cough and heartburn and different little things, but I tolerated that. And I smoked because I enjoyed it. But then I was convicted. That was chewing, wasn't it? I quit smoking for a $20 bet. $20 back then was a lot of money. That's like a $100 bill or so. So I did quit smoking. Then I smoked a pipe, and then when I got out of the military, I chewed tobacco. And the Lord convicted me on that. And so I quit. Now, why would that bother God that I chewed? Because it can give you cancer of the throat and everything else. So God was maybe looking out for me, wasn't he? But now I got to make a choice. Am I willing to do that? It's just like us not understanding the things that God... Am I willing to do what he tells me to do? You know, what I found out with most people and talking with them, that they already know more than they're willing to do. That's where I was. I knew a lot more than I was doing. But see, that's the thing. We got to learn to be obedient to the word, obedient to what the Lord says. And if he wants us to quit something, it's for our good. It's not just because he wants to apply pressure and make us feel bad. Like, God, you're taking all my fun away. I might as well not even live. No, you just need to learn how to live and trust God in it. And I know in preaching what happens, whether you realize it or not, it's that when I first read 2 Timothy, it says in verse 2, it says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. And it says this, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering in teaching. See, that's how you're going to teach it or take it. I'm preaching the word. To some of you, it exhorts you. For some of them, it gives you confirmation on things. For others, you're going to take it as a rebuke and be angry at me. So all of these things is simply where you're at with the Lord of how you're going to take what's being preached. Did you all know that? Don't blame it on the preacher. I find that very unique of how God does things. And it's like, wow. Y'all think a lot of you are probably thinking I'm rebuking you. I'm not. I'm just telling you what the word says and what happens to us when we don't obey. And when we don't see it his way. See, folks, I don't care how you see it when you see it in a human sense. What I care about is how do you see it with God? See, because how you see it, if you're wrong, it does you no good. It may bring you harm. But if you don't understand something, search it out. That's what I do. I get in and dig, man. I pray about it. Because I was where most people were. And I even had a haughty spirit about it. You couldn't tell me anything because I already knew it all. Like most kids up to 25. I talked to my grandson and he knows it all. So I have a hard time talking with him. I love him. We get along. But if you try to suggest something, he's got 15 reasons why he can't do it that way or why it won't work. And he's got a right, doesn't he? He's got a right to think what he wants and to do it the way he is. He's 24, I think, 25. But see, one day he might see that, wow, that old man might know something. I think I was 25 or 26 before I thought my dad knew anything. I said, Dad, you come here. Let me teach you something. I knew nothing. And folks, that's the way it is, God. God knows it all. He wrote it in his word, and he wrote it to help all of us. Because he cares for us. So many people in church are good people. They want to change and want to do things right, but they don't even know God. See, the thing isn't so much that you know God. It's important that you do. But the important thing is that does God know you? You ever think about that? Because there will be others that will come to him saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. And the Lord says, who are you? He says, I don't even know where you're from. But Lord, we've cast out demons. We've healed the sick. We've preached your word. Lord, we've prophesied in your name. The Lord said, you did your will. Basically, you were doing your thing, your will, but you wasn't doing mine. Exactly. See, we got to learn, let's do God's will. Let's do it God's way, not our way. He knows what's best. I hope you go down for a dialogue time. And I'm sure there's a lot of things that you all have experienced and you can share. Or if you have any questions, go down and share. It's a time to go down and learn and to examine. Oh, Pastor, what do you mean by that? What were you trying to say there? This is what I heard about. Is that what you're trying to say? Is that what God's saying? That's what the dialogue hour is all about. See, God wants to confirm his word to you. What good does it do for you to sit here and then me share things that you don't understand yet? You just, you know, say, well, I'm going back there again. I'm more confused now than when I came. And we don't want that. That's why the Lord, the only church I know of, and I've been to a lot of them, that actually have a dialogue hour downstairs, and they even give you coffee and cookies. What a place. See, there's no excuse. It kind of comes down to, what do you want? I know what God wants. He wants to bless us because he loves us so much. But see, we're the ones that have to surrender. We're the ones that have to repent. God won't. He doesn't need to. He's not going to change for you or me. We have to change. He'll take you right where you are now. Maybe all messed up. It's okay. God will still take you and love you. But then he'll start changing you. Because you'll start learning truth when you receive, and you want to receive what God has for you. See, we serve a good God. He is not condemning any of us here with this word. If you took it that way, you're listening to a wrong voice. He wants to convince. And at times, rebuke. I've been rebuked a lot. That's how I learn. And so you've got your way of learning. But I want to say, I love you and I know God loves you. But I'm going to tell you the truth. And God wants you to hear the truth, his truth. Amen? Father, thank you for your word. Touch your people now. Change our souls, Lord. Our will, our mind, and our emotions to what you have for us. Lord, we trust you. We love you. Teach us this day. May we change for you and for your goodness. And we thank you. Thank you so much for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me speak this blessing over you. It's in Numbers chapter 6, starting with verse 24. It says this. It says, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord show you his favor and give you peace. Amen. God bless you, folks.